So we are, the truth is that we could really just do a Shulchan Aruch tonight. The Beis Yosef sends you someplace else for Sif Hei, and he only quotes a very small piece of the Gemara for Sif Vav. So we're really going to be expanding off of the Shulchan Aruch itself. So if you take a look at Reish Samach Ches Sif Hei, so this is the Bracha on Geiris. Now it happens to be today's Daf in Daf Yomi. I'm not sure, truth is I think we're a daf or two ahead. So we learned it today. It might be daf, the actual daf for tomorrow or the day after, but it's the end of Sefer Perek Rabbi Elazar de Mila, which we spent a lot of time going over when we learned Hilchos Mila. And it just talks about the bracha, what bracha one makes on the bris of the Gerim. So in Sifhei it says, Hamalas HaGerim Avarech Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Ki Desham Savet Sivanu Lamul Es HaGerim. To do the meal on Gerim. Now the whole thing, I didn't really see much discussion about it, but it's a little bit odd. Who says that there's a mitzvah to give a meal to a ger? Especially and then v'achar kach. And the other part is also strange. It's a mevarich. You make the bracha. Bracha tasha melakeinu melech olam asher yisham savet zivanu lamulas hagerim ulatif mehem dam bris, to give a meal to the gerim and to draw from them blood. Shel mali dam bris lo niskayma shemayim v'aretz. If not for the dam of the bris, the world, the heavens and the earth would not exist. Shenemarim lo brisi yomam v'layel chukos shemayim v'aretz lo shamti. And then actually the Gemara tells that it concludes Baruch Ata Hashem Koreis Habris. I think is how it concludes. So the whole thing is a little bit odd to make this bracha, especially because what do we call this guy right at this point? What do we call this person after the mila took place and we make this bracha? We call him a guy. He's still not Jewish in most circumstances, right? He in most cases. We do the Mila followed by the Tevila. That's going to be an issue in the next Sif. But our general assumption is at this point, he's not Jewish yet. But yet we make this not only the bracha of that we're going to give him a Mila, but even this special thing praising the fact that he's had this bris, despite the fact that he's not Jewish. And at this point, it's almost by design he's not Jewish, because we want to make it so that he could still back out if he wants to back out. So I didn't see the hashkafic discussion behind this, but it's just an interesting point. I saw there is a bit of a issue about about whether there's really two brachos. It might be one bracha and not the second bracha. But this is the way that it's pasuk in Shulchan Aruch. I decided to leave it at that. I would point out that this bracha is rarely. I shouldn't say it's rarely made at all. It's rarely made in the standard cases of Geirus that we talk about, because we learned in Sif Aleph, if we go back, that we say Tzarech Lahatif, if he already had a bris while being a non-Jew, so Tzarech Lahatif imenu dam bris ve'im mevarchin alav. You have to do a toughest dam bris, and we don't make a bracha if the person is just doing a toughest dam bris, right? He'll just go and have and it gets done, and there's no bracha neither before or after done under those circumstances. So it is rare that this is going to be done today, because most cases of geiris, we're not doing a full circumcision on adult male. It happens. There are people that have it done, but it's general. It's rare, right? A few percentage points get it. I do have the RCA Madrich here, so there is a the rabbi guide thing. So there is a section on conversions, and it does have the bracha there. Where is it here? And it has a way that it's printed in Shulchan Aruch. Now there is a bracha that is done later on. When at the mikvah, you do make a bracha at that point of Asher Ki Yishanu Savet Zivanu Al Hatvila, but it's not done at the earlier point. There are those who will apparently in Hilchos Geiris Kehilchasa, it does quote that some do say to do this bracha without shem u'malchus, to make a bracha bar pira gafen, like you do at a regular bris, and then to do this bracha without the name of Hashem. Baruch asher kishan safet zivan al mol sagir l'hatif benu dam bris. The times that I've seen a toughest dam bris done, we have not done that. So I'm not sure if there are specific communities that do it, but it's generally not the minhag. Okay, so that's Sif Hei, the bracha of the Mila by the Geirus. Now, as you go to Sif Vav, so this Sif Vav seems like a pretty simple, straightforward halacha. Kusis sheniskayru vihimu uveris bana ein tzarech tevila. That if you have a kusis, now a kusis is a little bit unclear, but the truth is, it's probably a censored thing. It probably means to say a nachris. Right? A non-Jew. That's the halacha they were talking about. A woman non-Jew that converted while she was pregnant. Right? V'himu veres, bina ein sarach tevila. Her son is not going to require tevila. That's the way that the Shulchan Aruch lays that out. Now, right? So what is this based on? So the Beis Yosef just simply says, and you don't have to look there, but he doesn't say very much. The Beis Yosef just says, Memra de Rava in Perika Arel. That's what Rava says in Perika Arel. Okay, so you can take a look in Perika Arel. Perika Arel is the eighth parak of Meseches Yevamos. And there it talks about, on Ayin Ches Amar Aleph, it has the Memra of Rava. It's not very much. Rava said, Elahad Amar Rava, Nachris Muveres Shanis Gaira, Bina ein tzarach tevila, right? A non-Jew who is pregnant and converted, the son does not require tevila, period. That's what Rava says. So then
Is the son, or whatever, the offspring Jewish?
Yeah, that's the assumption.
They don't need anything.
Why not?
If they're a boy, they get mila. I mean, if they're Jewish.
No. So the Gemara is saying a little bit more than that, right? So you got to look at the Gemara, right? The halacha is, right, we're saying a non-Jew, Eric Sheldon, we're good. We're up to Reish Samaches Sif Vav in the Shulchan Aruch, right? The halacha in Shulchan Aruch, and it's quoted from the Gemara, this is what Rava says, a non-Jewish woman who is pregnant and converted, the son does not require tevila. That's all that the Gemara says. So why does it not require tevila? So one approach might be, as Joel just said, was the kid's Jewish already, right? The mother converted, and the kid was part of the mother. Okay, so this falls upon a machlokas that appears probably 15 times over the course of Shas, and that is the machlokas about uber yerech imo or uber lav yerech imo. What does that mean? So the question is an uber is a fetus, considered part of the mother? Or is the fetus distinct from the mother, right? So that is a machlokas that the Gemara tries to figure out several times. I don't believe we ever come to a final psak on that question. There are some Rishonim and there are Achronim that feel that we do, but I'm not sure, but I think Bizman Hazeh, I think nowadays, we do not say that we automatically paskin one way or another on that question, right? It's sort of an open question. Is a pregnant, again, is a fetus considered an extension of the mother? Like the mother has two arms, two legs, and a fetus, and a gallbladder, and a heart and a liver, right? Or is the child already considered distinct from the mother? Right? So if you say uber yerechimo, so then that's what Joel said. Joel's like, what's the big deal? Right? Yeah, the mother converts, just as the mother's liver is Jewish, and her spleen is Jewish, and her brain is Jewish, so too her baby is Jewish, right? It shouldn't be any different. So the Gemara continues on, however, and says that that's not necessarily how we hold. V'chitei mishum de Rabbi Yitzchak. Right? So if you assume it's because of Rabbi Yitzchak, why? So Rabbi Yitzchak is clearly on the other side of this question. Rabbi Yitzchak is clearly assuming that uber lav yerechimo, that the child is already distinct from the mother. The fetus is a distinct human being growing up inside of the mother. So v'chitei mishum de Rabbi Yitzchak, dam Rabbi Yitzchak, devar Torah, according to the Torah, rubo umakbid alav chotzeitz, rubo she'enu makbid alav eno chotzeitz. That according to the Torah, when a person goes to the mikvah, whether a woman going to the mikvah for nida or a man going to the mikvah for geirus or for whatever reason a man might go, in order for there to be a chatzitza, in order for there to be a blockage, d'oraisa, on a biblical level, now d'rabbanan, we have all huge types of chumras on this, right? But on a biblical level, Rabbi Yitzchak claims, that the only problem would be if it's what we call rubo umakbid alav, that he is, the majority of the person is covered, and they don't want to be covered, right? Both of those need to exist for it to be a problem on a level of Doraisa. So all the questions about a woman going to the mikveh with a broken arm, or a woman going to the mikveh with a hearing aid, or the woman going to the mikveh with fillings in her teeth, right? All of those shilas that are out there, the starting point is only a din derabanan, right? Doraisa, in order for it to be a problem, it needs to be rubo umakbid alav. However, the Gemara just concludes, rubo she'enu makbid alav enu chotzeitz. Even if it surrounds the majority of the person, if they want it there, if they're not upset about it being there, but they want it to be there, so then that's not going to be considered a chatzitza. So the Gemara then says, but wait a second, v'ha amarev kahana lo shanu elo rubo, aval kulo chotzeitz. That's only if it's the majority. But if the person is entirely enclosed, it's going to be considered a chatzitza, right? If a person goes into a submarine and then goes underwater, right, they can't say they've gone to the mikveh, right, under any circumstances. Yeah, they're totally submerged, right? And yes, they very much want the submarine to be there, because if the submarine wouldn't be there, then they would die, right? But if it is kulo, if they are entirely surrounded, so then that would be considered a chatzitza. So the Gemara is asking, wait a second, what do we call a fetus, right? A fetus is compared to the submarine case. Yeah, the mother is going into the mikveh, but the child is not. And yes, the child is very interested in the mother protecting the child, right? But practically, the child doesn't come in any contact with the mikveh. So how does that work? So the Gemara responds by saying, Shani uber dahainu ribise. That's the way it grows. As opposed to a submarine where you inserted the person into the submarine, right? In the case of the fetus, that's the way the fetus grows, and therefore the mother is not going to be considered a chatzitza. Now, you can argue on that statement, but that's kind of accepted as fact. I mean, that's a statement that the Gemara makes, right? That the child of the mother is considered as if she has gone to the mikveh for one of two reasons. Either because the child is just merely an appendage of the mother, right? That's possibility A. That's if you hold uber yerech imo. And if you assume uber lav yerech imo, so you say the child has gone to the mikveh by way of the mother because that's the way the child grows, and the child wants to be within the mother. That's not, and therefore it's not considered a chatzitza, and therefore it's as if the child has already gone to the mikveh. Okay? So far, so good. So that's how we understand Sivva. For one of those two reasons, a kusus shenisgayer vihi muveres b'na ein tzarech tevila. You're not going to require a tevila. So from there. How should we do this? Okay, so from there there is only one problem, and that is that works very well for a girl, right? A girl converts by way of the mikveh. Now a girl also needs kabbalas hamitzvos, right? However, there is a concept called a ger katan. Right, there is a concept called a ger who is converted as a child, right? It's actually the very next sif in the Shulchan Aruch, right? If parents show up with their child, or parents adopt a child and show up in front of Beis Din has the ability to convert that child under the assumption called zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav, that it's considered in the interest of the child for the child to convert. However, the child has the ability to reject it as soon when they turn bar and bat mitzvah. Okay, I mean, you can read it inside, but I figure that's going to be this year next week, right? The child does have that ability, right? So there is a concept called ger katan, right? And that's probably what this child is, right? This child is considered a ger katan, right? The child is being converted, right? Assuming uber yerech imo, the child is not considered converting. The child is considered part of the mom. But if you assume uber lav yerechimo, the child is converting, well, it seems like we would call the person, that child, a ger katan. And then when the child turns bar and bat mitzvah, they have the right to reject it. Right? Are we good so far? Okay. What about a boy, though? right? So a boy has to have multiple steps in order for the boy to convert, right? The boy, so if you, and so once again, if you say uber yerech imo, the boy is an extension of the mother, so then, okay, the child converts by dint of the fact that the mother is converting. But if you assume uber lav yerech imo, so the boy, when is the boy going to have his bris? Right? When is the boy going to have his bris? So the obvious answer is after the child is born, right? So, right? So there's different steps to the geirus. The mikvah happens, right? While the child is within the mother, and then the milah is going to happen later. The only problem is, as we learned last week, or actually I think 2 weeks ago at this point, is that's not the order that we generally follow. Right? We generally follow Mila followed by Tevila. Right? We generally do the bris first, and then we do mikvah second. So the question is, if this child ends up being a boy, right, haven't you gone out of order with regards to the geirus? Right? Shouldn't mikveh have to be the final step? So that question is asked by the Ramban. The Ramban on the sugya asks that question, and the Ramban answers, and it says the question is so strong, I'm going to change our understanding of the Gemara. That yes, it's true, our understanding of the halacha. Yes, it's true when the Gemara describes geirus, it always talks about mila coming before tevila. But says the Ramban, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. You could do mikvah first, and that's going to be followed by mila. And says the Ramban, and what's my proof? My proof is the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis. Right, Ayin Ches Amud Beis, it talks about this baby who goes to the mikvah while in the mother's womb, and then later on has a bris after the child is born, after the baby boy is born. So what do you see from there? That you can have a bris followed by you can have the mikvah followed by the bris. And the Ramban says that's the halacha. That's the halacha, and this is his proof. This is proof to that idea. However, there are other Rishonim on that. The most prominent one, as at least quoted in Shulchan Aruch, is the opinion of the Ra'ah. Right? What does the Ra'ah say about this? One second, where did I...
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I mean, maybe this is what you're going to say, but it seems to me that if the child is converted in utero, Jewish, then when he's born, he has a
bris
like any other Jew. Why does it have to be
part of
the conversion?
Because we are assuming that the child is a convert.
Right, but he's already Jewish.
But he's not. That's the point. Meaning, according to, if you say uber yerechimo, then yes, this question might be moot. Because we're going to say, well, the kid is already Jewish, just like the mother's Jewish, the kid's just an extension of the mother, and therefore Jewish. But if you assume uber lav yerechimo, it's a distinct being. So how is the kid converting? The kid's converting because it went to the mikvah through the mother.
Okay,
right? So now you're going to need the additional part. So the Ra'ah, however, says, the Ra'ah is different Rishon, that he says no. He suggests that when the child converted, right, within the womb of the mother, so what was that child? Was that child a boy? So the Ra actually says, no, right? The only converts that require a mila are boys. This child is not considered a boy yet. The child is only considered a boy once he's born. At that point, in order to convert, the child is going to be in the mother's womb. The child is not considered a boy yet. So therefore, the conversion, the immersion in the mikvah is sufficient to label that child a convert. To label that child a convert. Period. Okay. So now there is a tremendous nafkamina between the Ramban and the Ra'ah, right? Both of them are saying the same thing. Both of them are saying, yeah, the mikvah counts while it's within the mother, and then there's going to be a mila later on. But the question is, what is that mila? Is that mila a mila l'shem mitzvah, or is that mila a mila l'shem geiris? According to the Ramban says this is just the second half of the story, right? The second half of the story is to have mila, and therefore it's a mila l'shem geiris. We normally do mila before tevila. We normally do mila before the person goes to the mikvah, right? So the Ramban says, no, we don't. Yeah, but that's not ma'akiv. That's not necessary. Really, you could do it in any order you want, and that's what's happening here. You're doing tevila followed by mila. Well, according to the Ra'ah says, no, you didn't convert the boy. You converted a girl. You converted a non-boy. Right, and now the baby is born. The baby is a converted baby, and lo and behold, the doctor announced it's a boy. So the fact that it's a boy now, so a boy requires that it's going to have a bris. So what kind of bris are we going to have? We're going to have a bris l'shem mitzvah. That seems to be the machlokas between the Ramban and the Ra'ah. So how do we paskin, by the way, within that machlokas? So that also could be found in Sif Aleph. If you go back in the Shulchan Aruch to Sif Aleph in the Ramah, the Ra'ah makes a comment there. The Ramah makes a comment in Sif Aleph. Tavol kodem shemal, moel debidyeved have tevila. That he says if you do the tevila before you do the mila, that works because bidyeved, it went to the mikvah, right? And it went in the Ramah, and Beis Yosef Hashem HaRamban. Says, however, v'yesh omrim d'lo have tevila, and there are those who say that it's not a tevila. Who is that? That's Nemuke Yosef b'shem hara'ah. That's the opinion of the Ra'ah. So how are we paskening in that case between the Ramban and the Ra'ah? We're paskening like the Ramban, right? It's a case of where the Ramah says a halacha, and then says v'yesh omrim the other way. So when it's what we call a stam v'yesh, a simple halacha, and a yesh omrim, others say this halacha. So we pass him like the stam against the yesh omrim. We pass him like the Ramban, therefore, against the Ra'ah. So therefore, we're going to assume that it's going to be a mila l'shem geiris. That's the shita of the Ramban. Okay? Are we good? Are we good so far? Okay. So at this point, what? Very good, very good. Right. So besides the nafkamina about making about what bracha you would make, there's also going to be a nafkamina about if the bris would be docha Shabbos or not. Yes, correct. I was saving that towards the end because things are about to get a little bit even more complicated on this. Right, but yes, that would already be a nafkamina. That's a nafkamina between the Ra'ah and the Ramban, right? Although it could be the Ramban would say the other way for reasons that we're about to state, because there seems to be according to the Ramban, right? What is this child, right? This child is a ger, right? This child is a full-fledged ger, right? So now, if I were to ask the Ramban the following question. Let's say instead of the mother being pregnant with a child, the mother is pregnant with twins, right? And then the children are born. Are the children related to each other? Right? So normally, when Geirim convert, at least on a level of Doraisa, right? They lose all their relatives. They're considered Kekatan Shinola Dami, right? So if that's the case, according to the Ramban, these two children are born. The truth is, this might even be according to the Ra as well. The Ra might agree to this. He says there's also an actual conversion taking place. If we assume uber lav yerech imo, right? So then the Ramban would say, okay, so therefore the kids are considered to be related. The kids are not considered to be related. The problem is that it goes against a Gemara. Because the Gemara tells us later on in Yevamos, Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. Now, let me just, full disclosure, is I worked through all this a couple of years ago when I learned Hilchos Geiris. I learned Hilchos Geiris again here, actually in First Seder a couple of years ago, and I went through all of these Makoros. I actually figured most of it out on my own, and then found in a Sefer Rishis Koach by Rav Sobolovsky, he has the entire thing written out, like, all of these makaros. So I made full use of the Sefer Rishis Koach today to rediscover all of these makaros. Okay, so in Tzadi, so there's a Gemara Mesechtes Yevamos and Daf Tzadi Zayin where it says clearly that Achim Teumim, twin boys, Shehorasam Shelo Bikdusha Veleidasam Bikdusha. What does that term mean? They were conceived not in Kedusha, but they were born Bikedusha. They were born in sanctity. I mean, they were born once the Geirus already took place. Chayivim ze al ze mishum ishes ach minaim. Right? They're going to be chayiv on one another. I mean, we're going to consider them full-fledged relatives. We're going to consider them brothers. Right? So that's a question on the Ramban. How, if they're both Geirim, why are they considered related to one another? Okay? That's one question from a Gemara. Another question from a Gemara, which is why Rav Sobolovsky could put it in the Sefer on Maseches Bechoros, is that the Gemara tells him in Bechoros that Mem Vav Amin Aleph Shem Uveres Shenis Gaira Benoat Tzarech Pidyon HaBen. In the case of a pregnant woman that converts, so that child, she would require a Pidyon HaBen on that child. Right? Which is a big question. According to the Ramban, she gave birth to a guy, right? She gave birth to a non-Jew. So how could you say that there would be a chiv of a pidyon haben on this child if the child was born as a non-Jew, according to the Ramban? Okay? So those are two Gemaras that seem to be questions on the Ramban. So there's the Achronim then go to work on trying to figure out how to answer this question, right? How could the Ramban say that the child is a full-fledged ger, while at the same time acknowledging the Gemara that says that the children are going to be related to one another and that the child is going to be chayiv in the pidyon haben? So he quotes two answers from the, we'll call them the achronim of the early 20th century, the Dvar Avram and the Granat. The Dvar Avram is Rav Kahana Shapiro, first name, who is the Rav, the famous Kovna Rav. The Kovna Rav actually, he came to America. I think I may have quoted him a couple weeks ago about something in Hilchos Mila. He had important halach in Hilchos Mila. I think we talked a little bit about him then. Interesting person. He was known as the Posek in Europe. I think I mentioned at the time then that I wasn't sure, and I'm still not sure, but I think he might have given Rav Salvechik his smicha, the Dvar Avram. He gave a lot of people smicha. But he also actually came to America. He actually gave a shiur at YU. Rabbi Revel always had all these Rosh Yeshiva come and give shiurim at YU, so the Dvar Avram was on that list. So anyways, the Dvar Avram says that we're going to distinguish, right, when this child is how much of the child, yes, the child is considered converting, how much of the child is considered to have converted. So suggests the Kavna Rav that, well, let's say the woman goes to the mikveh in order to convert when she's 4.5 months pregnant. So suggests the Kavna Rav that half of the child, right, 4.5 of 9, half of the child we're going to consider Jewish, and half the child we're going to consider a ger. That's his suggestion. Kol ma shenotzar kodem tevila hein dino kegai v'tzarech gerus v'lo nishlam begeruso ad shas hamila. Right, all that was created before the mother converted, right, is a convert, and that convert doesn't have his gerus complete until when? Until Amila is done, right? All that was born after, all that was created, all that grew after the mother converted, right? So what's that child is considered Jewish and considered totally Jewish and therefore not going to require geirus. So therefore, when the child is therefore he says that we could still say that there's a mila required l'shem geirus. Now the truth is, it's not going to resolve the Shabbos question, but you could still say, well, maybe you could do it on Shabbos for the half of the child that's Jewish, right? But according to but at least you could say that you're going to require a mila l'shem geirus after the child is born, but yet say he's related to his brother because they were both born at the same time. Or he's required in Pidyon HaBen because he was born at least half Jewish. Now that itself is a little bit of a question because you can't be chayiv for half of a Pidyon HaBen. But anyways, that's the Kavna Rav's suggestion. A similar line of thought is suggested by the Granat, the Granat Rav Naftali Trupp. Naftali Trupp was the Rosh Yeshiva in Radin, right? So the Chafetz Chaim was the Rav of Radin, and the Granat was known as the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva in Radin. So the Granat suggests that there's two dinim of how to understand Geirus. One is that the child that there's two ways of what's happening. One is that he's entering Am Yisrael, and the other is that he's entering Kedushas Yisrael. He's entering the nation of Israel versus the sanctity of Israel. And he suggests that when the child is born from a Jew, they become part of Am Yisrael. But in order to have Kedushas Yisrael, the child has to be conceived as Jewish. And if not, so then you have to go through a conversion. So it's really the same idea, that part of the child is already going to be considered Jewish. Part of the child needs to have Geirus. So therefore, part of the child is therefore going to be related to his brothers on a level of Doraisa. And part of the child is still going to be require Geirus on a level of Doraisa. And that's how we can understand both of those thought. Okay, so that then raises the question of that my father asked. Well, wait a second. What about, so can this child have his bris on Shabbos? So according to the Ra'ah, it would seem, yes, the child can have his bris on Shabbos because the bris is totally l'shem mitzvah as opposed to l'shem geirus. According to the Ramban, our immediate answer is to say no. Because the child has to have the bris as l'shem geirus as opposed to l'shem mitzvah. However, perhaps we could suggest, based on the answer of the Dvar Avram and the Granat, that no, maybe the child, you could consider the child partly Jewish, and therefore his mila is partly at least l'shem mitzvah, and maybe that would be enough to be Docha Shabbos. That's his suggestion, that's Rav Sobolovsky's suggestion. Again, I don't think Lamaisa we would paskin that way, but it is an interesting suggestion. Similarly, another question would be, when the child gets older, is the child able to reject his conversion? Right? Do we consider the child a ger katan such that he can reject it when the child becomes a gadol? So if you take a look in Pischei Tshuva Sif Ches, so Sif Ches, Pischei Tshuva is on the next Sif, and Sif Zayin, when it talks about the ability to deny that the child can, as soon as they turn bar and bat mitzvah, can reject the conversion. So the Pischei Tshuva Ches says, Ayin b'sefer tiferes l'moshe, shekasav, de'im haisa horaso shelo b'kdusha v'leidaso b'kdusha. Now let's say the child was born, was conceived, without kedusha and was born by kedusha, kigon shenis gaira ovedes kochavim meuveres, that that somebody who is non-Jewish converted when they were pregnant, eino yachol limchos ayin sham beorech, is not going to be able to be moche. Why is he not going to be able to be moche? So according to the Ra'ah, we understand it. Because according to the Ra'ah, well, actually, maybe not according to the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah might still consider the child to be a ger. But according to this idea of the Granat and the Dvar Avram, it would answer for both, right? That half the child is converted by way of the mother already. Half the child might not be considered a full-fledged ger katan, right? It might be considered being born already bikdushas Yisrael. So that being the case, perhaps you would suggest that that the child would not be able to be moche when they get older. And then finally, if you look on the side here in the Dugal Meravava, I guess those people with the fancy schmancy Shulchan Aruchs, the Dugal Meravava I think is found on the bottom. But I think my father, you're looking at the old school one, right? So on the right side of the page, there's a Dugal Meravava about right and halfway down the page. Dugal Meravava, of course, is known to be Yehuda's commentary on Shulchan Aruch, where he says, Kusas Shenis Gaira, the Dugal Meravava makes the point, Im Yadu HaBeis Din B'Shas Tevila Shehi Muveres Hadin Pashut. right? This is all assuming that the Beis Din knows that the woman is pregnant, right? But if aval im lo yadu ha Beis Din shehi muveres, if you, the Beis Din didn't know that she was pregnant, yishli bazar richus dvarim, I have a lot to say about this. V'tali ba ashli revavi ve'in kam makom laharech, right? And I get involved in all sorts of things, and I'm not going to explain it in the small little couple of lines that I get allotted on the page of Shulchan Aruch, right? So what's the Dagomir Ravava driving at when pointing this out? He says, if the Beis Din knows about it, so then the Beis Din is converting the child just like they're converting the mother, right? The child is converting, and Beis Din is observing the child convert, right? But if Beis Din does not know about it, so then how are they converting? So if we assume uber yerech imo, so then the child is converting no matter what, plus the child is part of the mother. However, if we assume uber lav yerech imo, then presumably it needs some requirement of das, some requirement of knowledge by the Beis Din to say, not only are we converting the mother, we're also converting the child. And if the mother doesn't know, if the Beis Din doesn't know that the mother is pregnant, so then they're not able to affect their das, they're not able to affect their knowledge about this child. However, it could be suggested based on some of the ideas that we talked about last week, right? That we said that the Gemara said that if the person goes to the mikvah, so then that's assumed that they go to that the conversion works. It sounds like even in the absence of Beis Din. So depending on how we understand that sugya from last week, right, that maybe Beis Din doesn't totally have to be present at the time of mikvah, maybe only at the time of Kabbalas and Mitzvos, maybe there'd be room to say that the child would be able to be a valid convert. The Aruch HaShulchan actually quotes this Dagel Meravava and then says, "Ba'ani omer she'ein tzarek sh'ir abuseinu ba'alei tosfos," right, the Uvri, plus the Aruch HaShulchan says, we don't see it because I know that there are ba'alei tosfos that hold uber yerech imo, which I found somewhat startling. It sounds like the Aruch HaShulchan is actually paskening uber yerech imo, right? And therefore that kind of pushes away the entire shir tonight. But I'm not sure that that is muskim to all the other poskim. I'm not sure nowadays that we fully accept that, right? This, of course, has tremendous ramifications with regards to issues of IVF and donors, egg donors and sperm donors, all these types of things. As right, so is going to be totally in this question, and I don't think that we actually paskin the shayla of uber yerachimo versus uber lav yerachimo in a totally lemaisa way. So that is the issue here, right? A child converts, the mother converts. Child pregnant inside. Shulchan Aruch paskins that the child does no longer requires tevila, right? So the truth is, Shulchan Aruch itself says ein tzarech tevila. It does not say the child is Jewish, right? So that perhaps is a clue as to the way the Shulchan Aruch holds with regards to the kasha of Uri Yerachimo, Uri Lav Yerachimo, right? How could that be? So that was the discussion we had: the Ramban, the Ra'ah, the orders, and the Dvar Avram, and the Granat. And maybe we'll stop here and pick up, in a couple of weeks with the sugya of Ger Katan. Okay?
Can I ask you an off-topic question?
Yeah.